You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardner, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries, find out all I could find out of Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized there was something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
When you hear screams, breaking day, we hear these siren-type screams.
But it is not like
anything else. They just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tree.
The hand was
freaking
out into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
What you think I've seen? Some strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of me, and he was talking to Mops and Joe. Well, for a little hell, I haven't seen John Swartz. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Star.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, hello, everybody. And this is Marco Bill. Some absolutely phenomenal things happened today. And Tom couldn't be with us because of it. But it was a good thing. Alex, are you there, my friend?
I sure am, Marco. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. But we had some folks out there from Dick Clark Productions has taken Tom out to dinner tonight to celebrate. And it's a good celebration. And some really great things are going to happen here soon. I can't talk about it or give much detail to it. Tom will do that maybe next week. He's on his own. But he asked me to tell everybody he's sorry he couldn't make the show. He wanted to make it really bad. As you know, he hates missing shows. But he had to rub elbows tonight really good. So that's what he had to do. But Alex, can you give us a little who's in the who's in the chat room tonight? And before we get in there, let me say something. I apologize to everybody out there. The last couple of shows, now as you know, we no longer are with Blog Talk Radio, and it's a good thing really, because we were just having too many problems with their equipment and stuff. But in the meantime, though, what's happened is it's confused a lot of people, and of course, I helped the confusion quite a bit. I put some new streams up. We actually have five new streams, but the streams are no good without proper interface to the web pages and things. And accidentally, they were supposed to have taken, in other words, they're supposed to have integrated with the web pages that I made for them, and they didn't. And so when I put all these links up on Facebook and a bunch of other places the first week, there's quite a few people that went up there. There was no chat room for them. Well, there was, but it wasn't the chat room that we use. And a bunch of other things were wrong. So I apologize to everybody for that happening. What I'm doing is, little by little, I have to interface these these different streams, and that which will benefit everybody eventually. Currently, right now, if you need to get a stream that has a chat room on it, I have two places that we can, actually three places that we can go. If you go to www.bigfootlive.com, on that first page, right in the center, you're going to see a logo in there, and it says link to new, to the new place. If you hit that link now, it's proper, okay, it'll work. And you'll go to a little, it'll have a little a web page on it, it'll say probably backup, and you'll probably see in it a chat room, a guest book, about four or five buttons on it, okay? Then, and that's good. That's what we use. Also, if you go to searchingforbigfoot.com, that's www.searchingforbigfoot.com, you'll also see new button on the very first entry in there. If you click on it, it'll take you to the backup page that has the chat room and the guest book in it. Also, the old logo that we had on the bottom on there, the yellow little logo, goes to the backup page as well. I've removed all the new streaming links, and I don't use those until I'll publish them again later, and I'll make sure that everybody has the right thing. Now, I've forwarded Alex, and I will forward some other people to their websites, the links for both the archive player and live show to the backup page. Alex has posted those on his website, so we'll sort of spread the cheer out a little bit, but anyway, that's what's been going on that end. Okay, Alex, would you be kind enough to give us a chat room scribble?
Certainly will. And as you've been giving us those addresses, I've been putting them up in the chat room too. You can always get to the chat room from the AZCRO forum, also along with your Bigfoot Live radio show that you just mentioned. And that player also plays your archives, right? That's pretty cool. That's really cool. So right now, let me give a shout-out, so no private messaging, please. We got Billy Green, of course. I got myself logged in here twice. Excuse me, guys. We got Billy Green. We got the Chief Monster Chaser. We got Mitch out there. Hey, Connie. Welcome back. Dave-O, welcome back. Dimes Lime, welcome. Jerry Hine, Kenny from Pennsylvania, Lee Joyner. I believe it's Larum's birthday today, so happy birthday to Larum. Larry, excuse me. And there's Leroy Bevins, who's one of the guests tonight. We got Lisa, and I believe that's Lisa from Texas. So how you doing, Lisa? She's a member over at this forum and been chatting up a storm with Mitch and Mitch's wife, Susan. And then we got Mike Kay in Ohio, Rex. How you doing, Rex Howdy Show, out there in New England? Rosebud. And WS West Rocks. West Rocks. Is that someone from West Roxbury, Mass? That'd be pretty cool. And we've got one mystery guest. And Jan, try it again, Jan, with what you wanted me to say, but I was a little busy at the moment. There you go, Marco.
Well, thank you. And we'd like to do a little shout-out also for friends, family, and family members that are not doing too well right now. Our good friend Alex, recovering from his second operation, going in for number 3 and 4, huh? In the next couple of weeks here, huh?
Next week's the bigger one, so they got me all
So let's all keep Alex in our prayers, and I want to tell you, this last one, man, it knocked him out. He was supposed to be on the show. He couldn't make it. He had to take a pill to cut the pain, and the pill just put him to sleep, and boom. Also, Alex's mother, Bruce Schilt's sister-in-law, of course, they had a memorial service last week. And, of course, Dan Hill and GBRI, Jack Jackson had the quadruple bypass. Jan says he's doing well. I mean, he's doing pretty good. He talked to him on the phone. He had surgery last Tuesday, I believe it was. And, of course, Mitch Waite's mother. And I don't know the status, but, Mitch, if you're out there, my friend, every single one of us here send you our prayers and well wishes for your mother. And we hope, in this trying time, I know it's a hard thing, but you just hang in there and we'll all be with you, okay? That's what we have for the chat room, and that's what we have for our friends and family out there. So let's. Yes.
What Jan said was, sorry he missed a call today. That's what he was trying to tell me.
Tell him that's okay. Don't worry about it. Heck, I owe him something, and he thinks I forgot about it, but I didn't. Friends and neighbors, I've got to tell you something. The last month, I just hope nobody gets this flu that's going around here. Mine was with whooping cough, and I don't know how. I mean, I had whooping cough when I was a kid, and boy, this thing has knocked me for a loop. My wife, two of my kids. I mean, we have been constantly sick for the last month, and I'm just getting over this stuff. But I just hope it doesn't. I hope none of you guys out there get it, because it is a bad thing. But I owe Jan some things, and I'm going to do that tomorrow. I'll contact Jan and get a hold of him, and we'll get some stuff to him.
Get in line with that.
I'm going to do a lot of things. Alex, tonight, unbelievable. We got some pretty good things going on here. Well, the first thing I wanted to do is probably go out there and, Rob, could you hit your star 7 button? It's Rob Price.
Hey, Marco.
Are you there? How you doing, Rob? Alex?
Hey,
it's been a while since we talked to Rob, huh?
Yeah, it's been a little while. I felt better in the past. I've just recently
got. Yeah, you get the bad stuff now. Gosh.
Yeah, I got it again. This is my third round with it. I've had this mess for 2 months now, on and off. You know, being out in the weather, doing my other job, do electrical work and an electrician. I'm out in the elements most of the time, and especially this time of the year with the cold and all, keeping people warm. And just recently got done working at a hospital on a job that they've been up there for 2 weeks, working on a freezing unit for their cafeteria area, putting in a new freezer.
Wow.
And, so I've been around all the sick people, and it's finally rubbed off on me.
Alex, are you still there, my friend?
I sure am.
Oh, okay. Well, Alex, we're talking to Rob and talking to Tom. What we're going to do, Rob, what we're trying to do is, just to see how you've been doing here the last few months. It's been a while since we had you on the show, and just what you've been up to. I know you assisted Chuck and a couple other people out there with some action going on earlier in the year.
Believe it or not, Chuck's got some more action lined up, and Chuck stays in pretty constant communication with me since I'm here in his area.
Yeah,
and we plan a bunch of different things when it's conducive to everyone's schedule, because Chuck still works full time, and we got Greg who's 3 hours out of the way to get here or there or in between, and we try to I work when I'm not on the road doing the Bigfoot. I work full time doing electrical, and what we got going on right now, we have plans for two more upcoming expeditions, depending upon scheduling conflicts and things like that as to whether or not. If I can go, I've already given my word that I'd go if I was available to go, but at the current time and whatnot that these things were planned, we didn't know what the situation could be in the future,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of how we go through these things with, keep things open as possible, and they know this up front, but they know I'm always willing to come on and help them out any way I can. I mean, Chuck and Greg both, they've been, just great to the organization, and I can't stress that enough, and they're, some of our closest friends. So I try to, get out there and do as much as I can to help them out when they need help on an expedition or planning one or anything I can do to help. It's part of what we do here at SFBI. It's how you get things done, Marco. It's called networking.
I understand that totally. So what have you been involved in the last few months?
In the last few months, we went out to I can't remember exactly the name of the place. Because it's something that you don't use every day. It's some odd name, and I can't pronounce it right because it's an Indian word anyway, so I'm not going to try. But it's a little creek area in a creek bed, and it's around that area of Rude Creek that Chuck's always talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And, we went out there, and because he's always been talking about it and everything, and I wanted to go out there and see what was going on. So, you know, I tried to get out there and see the place, and we went by for, you know, and spent, I think, one evening there because due to, you know, conflicts of work, we had to get back, and we just didn't have time to do the full investigation as I would like to have done. But I got to see where the place was. And so I know where it is now, and we can go back and do that, which we have an upcoming expedition for that location planned in March. Chuck hasn't given me the exact weekend yet he wants to try to go because we have to schedule things around the weekend, being that, you know, he can't get off from work any other time for his job out on the airbase.
I understand.
And plus, Greg wants to come along. So we have to, you know, make sure everybody's on the same page in planning these things. You have to bear with me. I'm trying to hold the coughing down as much as possible.
I understand.
But, you know, that's just one of the plans we've got right now. There was some talk about possibly going back up into the Carolinas in the summer months.
Yeah.
In the spring, late spring, when it starts to, the weather shifts, you know, the actual cold starting, they get their worst winter part of the winter is, you know, in the late, early spring. And so that's going to change. And then, you know, everything starts warming up and these things start heading back north. So we were going to try to get up there to a couple of locations that Greg has and Chuck and check these two out, two to three locations that we have already predetermined as locations to stop at on the way through and just see what's going on. I mean, there's some places that we've been in the past. And we're going to go back and, you know, that's always the best way to do this is, you know, when in doubt, go back to square one. So we go back, and we're going to see what's going on up there at that time.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
I'm going to try to catch these things on the remnants of the migration path.
Mm-hmm. Well, the last few sightings and things that's going on around the Rude Creek area, they've been pretty close, huh?
They have been. They've been within, as the crow flies, around 10 miles of each other. So, you know, pretty amazing. When you look at it on a map, and you know, from aerial view, and you get the topo out and check it out, you'll see the areas, even though, I mean, the actual elevation's the same. The water, you know, the water they're running on is the same water. It just happens to be it's a little farther upstream or a little farther downstream. And they're really close as far as just, you know, setting out and walking in a straight line. You could actually get there, and it's not that far, but as far as having to drive to these different locations, that's a different story because you have to go around your elbow to get there.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's a swampy area and very low lying, so you know traversing it's very difficult terrain, and I wouldn't suggest you know striking out walking in those types of areas. I mean snakes and alligators and everything else that you could be running across out there. It's just a lot of nothing. But I mean, you have to traverse some of these areas sometimes, and you know we're there to do it. We try to do our best so that we can get the news out there to everyone that's listening.
Well, I think Chuck said, I may have been wrong, but I think Chuck went to, over the weekend, I think he took his wife and him and he went down to, what, Florida?
I think he did. I haven't talked to him in about a week, so I don't know, I don't really know exactly what Chuck
Well, that's where he was going to go. I think they got back on Sunday night. But one of the things that I was going to, I don't know how far, you know, where Tim Fasano is, he's the guy that goes down there. He's the taxi driver down there that goes out in the area out there. And maybe you guys might even hook up with him. Say again.
Tim's in the Tampa area, Marco.
Say again.
Tim's in the Tampa area.
Oh, way down there.
he's down there a good ways, man.
Yeah.
He's getting close to Okeechobee down there in the Everglades
area. Yep.
Below that. I knew he was trying to contact me, and I tried to get back in contact with him and was unsuccessful because, like I said, his and my work schedule clash so much because he works the night shift, I work during the day. So
right.
We have a heck of a time trying to get in contact with each other during the week. Mm-hmm. Just because, like I said, my hours are not set. I mean, you know, working for yourself and for a private, you know, individual, you do what you have to do.
You work harder.
Exactly.
You get to pay double taxes. You get to pay double everything.
That's right. But I didn't know what was going on this weekend. I mean, I know he tried to call me But I wasn't able to actually get to the phone when he called, and when I tried to call him back, I couldn't get him. So that's the way it usually goes. We just play phone tag.
Well, gosh, Rob, I'm really glad you came on tonight, and it's been a while since we talked to you. And other than being sick, boy, I tell you, you sound great. Other than that, I hope you get better.
I don't feel as bad as I sound. I mean, you know, it's just I've done, you know, it's just relapsing, and I've probably got a different one. I mean, everybody in the family's had this mess on and off for the last month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being around people and working like I work, I see so many different people every day, and a lot of people you go by, you know, they've got it. I mean, everybody's just got it. This stuff's rampant.
Wow.
I haven't had a cold in the previous 2 years until now. I mean, this is the first cold I've had in 2 years, and I've had three of them in the last 2 months.
Wow.
it's crazy.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. And
I appreciate it, Marco, as always.
We've got to get you on again here. But when you guys get ready to go out, give me a call. We'll have you on and have you on as much as we can here to get the results of where you've been. And we'll get you back on.
Definitely we'll do that.
Thank you, my friend, and I know you probably don't feel too good, so you don't got to stay on.
Night, Rob. Feel better, buddy.
You're right. Get some rest.
All right, guys. I'll catch you guys, and I'll hear the rest. I'll listen to the rest of the show.
Okay. Well, you hit your star six button, and you got to be okay. Well, everybody, that was Rob Price. Alex, our next guest. Are you there?
Next. Yeah, who we got next? You going to do an ad next, or are you going to go right
to
Leroy?
Well, we're going to do the ad, and then right after that, we're going to on the other side, we're going to get Leroy on, Leroy Blevins. Okay?
Next.
Here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery. And deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was it. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax, and I got to tell you something. If you weren't there and you weren't in the midst of it, and I was right in the middle of it in August 2008, and I got to tell you, there was nothing like it. It's Black Bigfoot Friday is what they called it, and the reason was, you're not going to believe this. I mean, this thing, they were taking terabit hits on these servers, all the servers for our website and on others. And you will, it's hard to believe, but, you know, they go by, a lot of these servers go by, bandwidth, right? And $3,300 a day is not good. And that's how hard it hit. And the websites went down all over because of it. But it was something else. It was just absolutely phenomenal. I think on one of our websites, I had something like 5,000 downloads in a day. It was just taken. I mean, there was no server room left. I had, I think, 500 gigabytes, and it was just maxed out. And so it was there was a lot of things going on. But anyway, Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax is available. www.bigfoot or searchingforbigfoot.com at our store, and it's also available on amazon.com now, and it's something else. You got to see it to believe it, and there's so much so much garbage out there that people are have made issues about. And if you know, they like, they, how could anybody touch something and say that they touched it? All these kinds of things, all against Tom. Like, Tom was the guy that instigated this whole thing, and he instigated nothing. He's like somewhere in the neighborhood of about $110,000 gone that he, out of his own pocket. I mean, you know, in expenses, and so there, I mean, there was a lot of things that went on, and a lot of things that people second-guessed and still do second-guess. We get emails, all kinds of stuff from people who think he lied and all kinds of things. I mean, last week somebody said that he got $1 million for, he was going to get $1 million from one of these, from the network to do it. And all this stuff is all trash. We didn't, there was nothing made on it. There's a lot lost, including, you know, I mean, this just about smashed all of us in there. Anyway, that's enough. But it's available, Amazon.com. It's, and it's good. It's really good. I just seen it last week. It's absolutely, really, really a good, everything is there. Everything you want to see is there. So anyway, here we are. Alex?
Marco?
Are you there, my friend? And
are you, Marco?
Is Leroy there?
Yes, I'm here, Marco. How are you and Alex doing tonight?
Doing great. I'm getting over the flu, but I'm feeling a lot better.
That's good.
Well, you know,
I'm doing well, Leroy.
Alex,
and you,
know,
buddy?
Tom and I talked, and when we talked to Leroy, what we're trying to do is, Leroy has is, well, you got a new website now, right, Leroy?
Yes.
And he, you have just about, I mean, you have done unbelievable, I don't know how you do it, but a lot of work in trying to uncover the Patterson film and all, everything about Patterson. And as you know, and everybody knows, I mean, 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, we had a major, we had a four-year anniversary show. It was 3 hours. That had all the players on it, plus the SFBI team went and interviewed each and every one of these people that were involved with this. And so I'm gonna give the floor over to Alex and to Leroy, and to go through, just kind of walk us through, Leroy, what transpired, how you did. Go ahead, Alex.
Marco, before you do that, if you remember, after we interviewed everybody, and I actually wasn't part of the team then, but I was on the show that night, and I remember the one person who wouldn't come on the show, who was interviewed and planned on coming on the show, was Bob Gimlin. Bob Hieronymus was on the show.
Right.
We were on the show. The team was on the show. Leroy, I believe, was on the show.
Well, when I say interviewed, I'm not talking about the radio show interview. I'm talking about the SFBI team went out and individually interviewed each individual on this. And they talked to all of the people involved. And they did a pretty thorough job. And now, here comes Leroy. We didn't know Leroy then. And he kind of takes this whole thing and pulls it right apart. I thought it was pretty neat.
Well,
he
after,
came up with the same thing we did.
After they interviewed everybody, Bob Gimlin was a no-show on the show that Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, he didn't. And he also, there's a couple other places where they were supposed to have an interview, and he wasn't going to give any interviews for it. So then
Leroy's data on that is amazing, and he has footage that I've never, ever seen before. You know, you can talk about the MK Davis and this new breakdown, but they're breaking down the Patterson film. Leroy breaks down stuff that I'm not even sure where he got it, so maybe he'll tell us. I guess it's other areas of the film, right, Leroy?
Yes, actually, when Patterson was filming his Bigfoot, it actually came from a documentary that he was filming with Bob Gimlin, Jerry Merritt, John Ballard, Howard Hieronymus, and Bob Hieronymus. Everybody talks about the film itself, but they don't talk about the documentary that they was all filming at the time.
And Bob Hieronymus was part of it, right?
Yes, he was. Because the documentary was about these cowboys going out, trying to look for Bigfoot. And then Bob Gimlin was supposed to play an Indian tracker with tracking dogs. And then he was supposed to have this old prospector going around with them. And they're supposed to sit around campfires, talk about eyewitness accounts and interviews and everything else, and they're supposed to find Bigfoot. Well, Roger Patterson and Jerry, after he was done filming it, Roger Patterson and Jerry Merritt went around trying to sell the film. Well, they couldn't sell to no one. But then turn around, all of a sudden, here's this Bigfoot film that he's got now, and he went to a company, supposedly he went to a company in Oregon, to have them take the film that he's already had done, a documentary that he had done. And that's why you see today on the net, if you go around, you see Bob Gimlin, parts they claim is from the film. You'll see Bob, Jerry Merritt and Bob Hieronymus riding down the hillside. And then you see Patterson riding through the woods, and they're going down dirt roads and everything else. Actually, this is all from the documentary that he was filming. So since Roger Patterson couldn't sell the documentary, they went ahead and pieced it all together to where it looked like they had a Bigfoot film, and then they just throw the documentary away, but then turn around a few years later after the film was done, and they're coming around and say this is a Bigfoot film and everything else. In 1974, Ron Olson took the ideal of Rogers and made his own documentary, but changed the name to Sasquatch, The Legend of Bigfoot. And they filmed it in 1974, but it wasn't released until March 9th, 1977. And the reason why they did that is so no one will pinpoint all of it together saying, hey, you know, this is Rogers' documentary, for one. And then two is they won't put the film, the Bigfoot film, in with the documentary, but actually the film itself, Patterson's film, was part of the documentary that Roger Patterson was filming in 1967.
I got a little tickle in my throat here, so forgive me. I think I play that documentary on one of the AZCRO TV channels. But that's really neat, and not many people know anything about that story, so thank you, Leroy. Now, how did Bob Hieronymus figure in on the documentary, and obviously we know how he figured in as also playing the Bigfoot. Now, would that footage, two questions, I guess, because I'm talking out of turn after I asked you a question. So how did Bob Hieronymus fit in the documentary, and then obviously was he also going to play the Bigfoot as, say, a reenactment in the documentary, and that's the footage that became the Patterson film?
Well, see, when I was talking to Bob Hieronymus on the phone about some things I found in the film, like the images of the man they took out, which you can actually see walking in the film, about the other man's hat coming in and out of frame as Patterson was supposedly filming Gimlin riding down the dirt road, and then turn around, Patterson claimed that he got his camera out of a saddlebag, but if you watch the film itself, you're going to see that there's no saddlebag on Roger Patterson's horse. So I'm sitting here
Isn't it true, too, and I'm sorry, but isn't it true that maybe that's because he wasn't on his own horse and he was on, actually, was it Bob Hieronymus's horse? Don't you show that in your pictures?
Well, they claim that's Bob Hieronymus's horse, okay? So that's why when I was talking to Bob Hieronymus, because even Bob Hieronymus himself don't talk about the documentary they was filming or anything else. He said he was friends with, you know, Bob Gimlin and stuff like that, and they approached him to make this film of Bigfoot. But see, Bob Hieronymus wasn't telling the whole truth on that part himself, because he was actually holding out, because after I told him, I asked him why Bob Gimlin was behind the brush. He says, why, you seen that? And I said, yeah, I see that. And I said, I also seen the images of men they took out, and Bob Hieronymus says, have you shown anybody? And I said, yeah, I've shown some people. I was on Tom's show, and we talked about my findings in the show and stuff. He says, you sure? And I said, yeah. And he says, well, I got to go. Bye. And he hung up on me.
And then that's pretty much what he did the night of the show, I believe. He just didn't answer his phone. But he really hasn't been heard from since, I don't think, in anywhere.
No, I've tried to call him back, but I never got no message back. Just like I called Bob Gimlin over 17 times and left my phone number. I even talked to his wife, but he never calls me. I have contacted John Green, but the only way I can contact him is through email, and I showed him the things I showed and everything else. And so he sent me an email back, which I'd like to read a couple things from it, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Because he was sitting there telling me the same thing, you know, about how that they had to take, Ron Olson had to take his Roger's ideal because they couldn't do it on their own. He wrote me, he says, I'm impressed with the effort you have made and the skills you have applied in doing it, and particularly your costume, which is the closest to what the film shows that I've ever seen. Now, John Green sent me this in an email after I showed him the photos of the costume I made and everything else. That's why when I did my research on the Patterson Gimlin film, just like Bob Gimlin claimed, you know, in an interview in 2009, he claimed he had nothing to do with the cameras. But Roger Patterson had the camera with him the whole time because he don't even take pictures today. So if that's true, then who was filming Roger Patterson at Bluff Creek if Bob Gimlin wasn't using the camera? Because he stated he wasn't using the camera. So who was with them at the time they filmed? Roger making a cast prints, Roger riding a horse through the woods and everything else. Bob Gimlin claimed he wasn't. And this was
so he's either lying. So he's either lying or there was. So he's either. I'm sorry. So he's either lying or there was somebody else there.
Yeah. So that's why after I got done putting all their claims to rest, like they said, like a lot of these researchers, they claim, well, I worked on original film. No, they haven't, because no one's worked on original film, because no one knows where the original film's at. All they've been working on is copies of the film. So they
right.
really don't know if, you know, they can't do the really test saying, hey, we work on this, because they could have copied on any kind of film they want to back then. So, see, they can't make their judgment on that. Well, when I was talking to, I think it was Marco, when I was talking to you, Marco?
Yeah.
We was going over all of that, and like I said, you know, when it comes to the film, the only way they could sell it was, honestly, it was part of the documentary that they was making, and they couldn't sell the documentary itself, but they went ahead and pieced it together to where it looks like a Bigfoot film, because even when I was going over the film myself, I took out 13 frames. That's the ground frame. I sent it to Tom. And I said, no, Tom, look at this, because if you take them 13 frames of the ground out, you're going to see all these frames together where it wasn't spliced together, because where it comes to that ground motion, you can actually see it was spliced in there. So what I did is I took them frames back out, and all you do is see the Bigfoot sit standing there, and then it takes two steps and stands there again, and it takes three steps, and then he changes directions and starts walking off the other way.
Did you also notice, if you've seen Bob Hieronymus walking, his arms, and you look at the creature walking, it looks just like Bob Hieronymus.
Well, see, that's another thing, too, because, see, I went ahead and did test on that to make sure it was Bob Hieronymus in a suit, because I took his claim. Okay, Bob Hieronymus was around 6'2".
Right.
Well, in the Bigfoot, it's actually, the actual size of the Bigfoot is around 6'7". Okay, at 7'4" is not, it's 6'7". So when I put the suit on, because I'm 6'2", so when I put the feet and the shoes and the headpiece on, I'm 6'7", same as height as the Bigfoot. So Bob Hieronymus passed on that one. Next thing I did was when I put the suit on, I put the keys in the pocket. Like he claimed, every time he walked, it was keys in his pocket, it bulged out. It actually bulged out in the same spot with keys in the pocket. Then I went ahead and studied, just not the leg motion, the arm motion, but I studied the feet motion, and I watched it. When you watch the Bigfoot move, you're going to see it pivot off on its right foot. Well, Bob Hieronymus does the same thing. He pushes off with his right foot. His right foot goes into somewhat of an angle, but his left foot goes straight up and down.
Mm-hmm. Well, to me, it looked, when I seen him walk, and then I seen the creature walk, it was exactly the, I mean, you couldn't, it was
identical. The arm swing, everything.
Yeah. Yeah, that was Bob Hieronymus. I do got to agree with him on that one. That is Bob Hieronymus in that suit.
So. And then you have photos of the whole, I guess, documentary team together. And there's, you know, Roger Patterson, Bob Gimm, Bob Hieronymus, and numerous other people right in there together. They knew each other then. They worked together. To think Bob Hieronymus is lying now is just amazing. Plus I believe they even denied knowing him for a while, and here's these photos of them all together like a team.
Okay. Yeah.
Every time we go out in the field, we kind of take a team picture, you know. Even sometimes it's just me, Tom, and Rob. You know, we're stopping the truck and taking a photo of the three of us, or you know, two and two and two and two. And they obviously did the same thing. And here's their team photo, all, you know, five or six or seven of them, but obviously Bob Gimlin, Bob Hieronymus, and Roger Patterson are the important.
That's what I was saying, because, you know, just like when I was watching the film, you ever watch the film, and you look at these photos and these other still frames, everybody has the same clothes on. And they always do this when they're making movies or documentaries. They always wear the same clothes, so when they're coming up to a scene or if they want to piece something together, they won't, you know, they can say, well, they just piece it together that way. But if you change your clothes and stuff, then they're going to say, oh, well, hey, look at here. You know, you could tell he changed his clothes in the middle of nowhere.
Right. John Wayne wears the same hat in every single movie until he literally wore it out, and he tried to wear the same clothes unless the movie set required different.
Yeah,
when he did a Western.
Well, see, just like me, I look at things that other people don't look at. If you watch part of the film where it shows Roger Patterson bending down, making a cast print, you're going to see he's getting mud on his pants and stuff. But see, one thing you won't see on his pants is his riding chaps. Now remember, they rode their horses to the film site. Then they rode after they filmed the Bigfoot, they supposedly went back to the truck, get the plaster and stuff, and rode back their horses back to the film site, which is 5 miles. Roger Patterson had the time to take off his chaps, go ahead and make these cast print stuff, and then put his chaps back on. I mean, you know, these guys, there's parts of the film, the documentary that they show, where they're constantly sitting around with chaps on. Even at night, campfire, you see them with their chaps on and everything else. But he has the time to take off his chaps. I mean, if it was a real Bigfoot, two things you have to look at. If it was a real Bigfoot, you wouldn't have time to take off your chaps stuff because you'd be excited what you just seen. And then two
he would have them on.
Yeah. And then two is, when you're filming the Bigfoot, what's really the dead giveaway from the get-go is, here you got Bob Gimlin said, oh, I'm on my horse, and I'm riding across the creek bed there to cover Roger. Roger's running up after him with his camera, and his Bigfoot just rolls away like it ain't nothing. But there's people today that sees Bigfoot, okay, and they try and take pictures of him, but they're quick. And they are. They're very quick. But here's Patterson takes this old kind type camera and gets it walking away like it ain't nothing. And with them chasing after it, I'm sorry, but if that was a real Bigfoot, it would have turned around and attacked them no matter what.
Well, you know, that's a good, really good point, because in my sighting, in both my sightings, one with my crew and Mitch's crew at our hut zone, and then another one the following year, spring, with Tom and Rob and Steve Dismore, the creatures were incredibly fast. Now, the sighting that I, my first sighting and the better sighting, the I guess what BFRO would call a class one sighting, I was face to face with it. It was paralleling me, and there was silence for a few seconds. There was some noise. There was silence for a few seconds. I looked to my left because I heard a couple of twigs break. It made a few twigs break before it realized there was going to be silence. An ATV had stalled, and the Bigfoot was using the sound of the ATV for cover. And when the ATV stalled, I could hear it. I looked at it. In 2 seconds, it looked at me. It immediately turned its back, and then it was surreal. It was almost like a cartoon, how fast it moved. Within a couple seconds, or portions of a second, it was into the brush. and then it was making a chopping motion with the brush. And when it did it to get away from me, all I heard was, as the, you know, the brush faded away, it blended into the brush. It was literally in some briars and some thorns and some, you know, some thickets. And, you know, just like you said, it was instant. So it either would have attacked or ran away. And the creature I saw was probably just about that size. So I didn't see no 10, 12-footer. I didn't see no 4-footer. You know, it was 6 foot, 5 foot five, 6 foot six. You know, it was my height, you know, maybe a little taller, you know. But it didn't strike me as being 7 or 10 feet tall. And it was gone in an instant, just like you said. It wouldn't stroll away. It would at least break into a run. And, you know, another thing is it just don't look like what I saw either. What I saw was smaller in the waist and more athletic in the waist. And it was big up top, but it had, and it don't mean all of them do, because I've seen gorillas that have it and some that don't, and baboons that have it and some that don't, but it had the cap and the mane down its back, continuing from the cap, which is, you know, like longer hair on its head. Like it's been playing with that Trojan commercial with the ladies with the hair back.
Well, you know, one of the clinchers about this whole thing was Philip Morris is the guy that made the costume. And he took Tom for a tour of his facilities, and he showed Tom all of the different costumes and things they had, and it was exactly like the costume that they had. Now, they did embellish it a little bit with rests and some other things.
Yeah,
but
it was too hard.
Yeah, but it was, it was uncanny. I mean, that's what, you know, Tom really didn't want this to be true. You know that, right?
Oh, I know that. See, that's what gets me is because I have seen some real film and some real footage of real Bigfoot, and even photos. But it was marked down as hoax, and the reason why it was marked down as hoax because it didn't match Bigfoot in the Patterson film.
Right.
So there are hoaxes, but Patterson wasn't, is what they're saying. So, but see, that's why this film is so important, actually, the truth to come out on this film, is because you can't, now, even the researchers that do research on it, I've heard their interviews, and the funniest thing about it is, they're backing a Patterson Gimlin film 100%. They said it's a real creature and everything else. But then when the guys ask them, I got a question to ask you. Do you believe in Bigfoot? And they'll sit there and they'll say, well, I say about 50-50 or 54 or 60-40. Now, it's either you believe in him or you don't. So how can you tell if it's a real Bigfoot or not if you don't really believe that they're out there? But as for me, I believe they are out there because I've seen one. And plus, the evidence that's coming around here.
Leroy, I guess what he's actually saying is you can only believe what he's saying 60%.
Well, you can see the evidence around us.
We're running over.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We got one more guest to go here. We only got, I think, about 10 minutes of show left.
Okay. I'll let you go then.
Hey, but no, Leroy, we got to get you back again. And,
okay.
And there's so many different things to go over, and you've done it so thoroughly, and I appreciate you coming on the show tonight to share a lot of the things with us again. And thank you so much for showing up and being here, and I'll give you another call again here in a week or so and see how you're doing, what your availability is, and we'll get you back on again.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, Leroy.
All right, yeah, have a nice night.
You too.
All right, bye.
Now, Leroy. Who we got next, Marco?
That was Leroy Blevins. Our next guest is Lisa. Lisa, how are you? Hit your star 7 button. Are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Well, Lisa, you are, you've had some things going on off and on around your place there, and what we're trying to do is keep up with what's going on. So if you could, Alex, Lisa's going to give us a rundown on what's been going on in her area here for the last couple of weeks, since the last time we had you on the show.
Yeah. Well, we've had a little bit, you know, I hate to admit this, but I've tried to step back and not do anything, just take a break from it. But when you live here and they live around you, it's hard to take a break.
Yeah.
But, however, Sunday night, my husband and I and a couple friends of ours, it was another couple, we were sitting out on our patio having a few drinks. And, you know, my husband and I was hearing the twigs breaking the woods, and we heard a couple little small whistles, and one of the drums at the other end of the property got banged and all that, but it was all just pushed aside that it was just, you know, critters, because the two that were with us, you know, they don't know much about it and anything, so we just let it go. And the night went on. We had a little fire going in our fire pit and all, and burned up the rest of the wood that we had, and you know, the night went on, and we came in, they went home, and well, Monday night came along, and I guess they were watching us and realized we ran out of wood. And if you, I don't know how many people go to Ask Crow or whatever, but I posted the picture. And on Tuesday morning, or, you know, during the day, mid-morning or so, I go outside, and I find these sticks were set onto our fire pit. And I questioned all the family members here, did anyone do that? And everybody's like, no, no, no. And I said, well, I guess there's only one explanation. And so I went ahead and I posted the picture on Ask Crow. Oh, I'm sorry. Somebody's trying to call in on me.
That's
but,
okay.
I get the we've started getting rocks thrown back at the house again in the last couple of weeks. There's been like four rocks that we've heard and counted. So that's beginning to happen again. And other than that little bit, you know, I said I'm trying to just step back and take a break from it, but it's hard to do.
I know. Oh,
you know,
God.
You know, Lisa, I make some jokes sometimes about people having activity right in their own backyard. But I want to make it quite clear. When I say that, I am not talking about you, because I've been to your house. Basically, you don't have a backyard. You have, you know, this huge expanse of a farm. So,
yeah.
I mean, you can't even see the farm. It's just their field. And then across the street, you have, like, a wildlife preserve, a lake, with how many? Three different beach areas. And, I mean, that's a huge lake. It has powerboats on it, right?
Yeah.
It has areas you can't even traverse. And you do have, like, neighbors left or right, but you do not have, and only a few, and down one end, it's virtually a dead end. You know, at least you almost need four-wheel drive to go out of your driveway to the right. But the lake is right there. The wildlife game preserve is there. And you know, I didn't just come along and la, la, la. I checked into the area, and I checked in with some experts in the area, and they said you're smack dab in the middle of what the Bigfoot experts in that area in Texas call the Bigfoot Corridor. And, you know, Corsicana, and of course you, because Corsicana is what, the nearest bigger town?
Yes.
And they used, you know, that for an example, and you are within a stone's throw of Corsicana. So I'm not just saying this because I've been there, although I did go there to prove what everybody was saying is correct. But my buddy Ken Gerhard said, you know, he couldn't make it. He wanted to come visit with us that day, that week, but he couldn't make it. He was tied up. But, you know, he said that, you know, he can't, of course he can't say it's exactly true, but he says, everything you're saying makes sense, and it's right in the area where they have other reports, east and west, at an angle.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've been checking in every now and again. I'll jump on the web and see if there's any other reports, you know, in the area for this area and everything. But and here this past week, I have found a couple, although they're old reports, but they're just now reporting it. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people around this lake in this area that I'm sure have had incidences and have seen them, but they refuse to tell because they're afraid of the ridicule. And, you know, once y'all left the area, we had several people, us and the people up in town had people coming to them and telling them, look, this is my story, but please don't tell, you know, don't tell them a name, da-da-da. So we know there's more out here, you know. And some
even
people
myself,
say,
when yeah. I'm telling these story, when I'm telling these stories with some of my friends that I've known my whole life and never experienced this kind of stuff with, and they don't, you know what I do now, I don't tell them. Or when they find out, I'll kind of tell them, you know, you ready for a laugh, you know. You know, it's just, it's you know, normal people are gonna at first maybe think you're nuts, or, you know, maybe some would be like, well, show me, you know, but at first they're going to think you're crazy, and we even see it when we drive around with the truck, and then when they start talking to us and they realize we're serious and we're not crazy and our stories make sense, you'd be surprised how many of them will say, well, you know, this used to happen, and I thought it was hogs, or I thought it was bears, you know. And when you were telling your story about your friends, I was going to butt in and say, you know, you can only pull them off as being hogs until they look in the window and your neighbors see it, you know.
Right.
But when they're running through the thickets there and you're on your porch, you can always say that it's just the hogs, you know, the wild hogs running through.
Right.
Well, you know, what happened, you know, Tom and the team went to the White Mountain Apache Reservation a couple of years back, and when they first went there, the reservation had a radio station, and they announced on the radio station, you know, people, you know, were going to gather at this one place. They had 300 people gathering, and for 20 years they'd kept the tribal council, everybody kept all their, you know, there are things just away from the public. You know,
oh, absolutely.
Just in their own area. But they had 20 years. I mean, Tom and the team were, like, there for, like, taking statements and stuff. And, of course, the chief of police at the time was A.K. Riley. And A.K. Gave Tom, you know, access to the room where they keep all the evidence and stuff. And he had they had all kinds of stuff in there. So I mean, and he gave him, and the tribal council gave him exclusive access to the reservation, and he's the only one that's gotten it so far. And so that was a big thing, and that happens. And can you imagine? I mean, 300 people is a lot of people.
Yeah.
Marco, that was his first time there.
Yeah.
Now the last time that we were there in force. Tom had Rob and Steve and Java Bob with him, and of course Tommy AP and I drove up and joined them, and Tommy AP went on to his property in Sholo, but I stayed on and worked with Tom as the team that weekend. We had a big exhibit, I believe either Sunday or Monday, I guess it was Sunday night, and at the auditorium, and Tom showed some of his stuff. We had A.K. Riley there with his stuff, and Tom and Jabba Bob spoke, and we all signed autographs. And that night, I believe Tom had in the upwards of 1,500 to 2,500 show up. He sold out Casino Auditorium, and you know, I'm not talking a small auditorium. It was bigger than you know, the movie theater in my town, and I live in a major city just south of Boston, or grew up, and He filled that place up. I was amazed. My hand was sore from signing autographs, and I wasn't even on the team technically. You know, I was just invited for that weekend. but it was amazing. And of course, they told stories before. We had the first night he was on the radio show with that trip, he had probably 30 to 50 people outside the radio show at any given time. Over the whole show, he probably had a couple hundred come up outside the radio show just to sign autographs from the rest of us while Tom was inside and Jabba doing the show with AK. So it was really amazing. He's, you know, he's a legend up there.
Well, you know, Lisa, what's really unique about you, your area, is you've had constant contact over
yes.
over a long period of time. And I'm sure it gets pretty irritating to you because that's all that happens. And it can be irritating. I mean, it upsets your whole life.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for the longest time we thought it was the coolest thing. And, oh, we just knew we were going to be the ones, you know.
Right.
But if they learned how to make their keep and bring some firewood, then it's kind of okay again.
Huh? What was that?
I said if they learned how to earn their keep and bring some firewood, it's kind of okay again.
Right. Well, they brought us a little firewood, but the deal on that firewood deal, though, I don't know if you've been on the ASCO site yet, but what stunned me was how they laid it, you know, that X form that they do. I've seen that in the woods so many times. And they
well,
do it.
It's almost like a signal. That's almost like a, I'm sorry. That's almost like a signal. I'm like saying what I think. Forgive me. But it's almost like they were giving you a signal, like this wood didn't just get here for nothing. See the sign?
Right. Right. I agree. But it's like, you know, but what's the signal? What is it that they're, you know, my friends, you know, I don't know. But we got a plan when the weather warms up a little bit. It might be a little dangerous, but we're going to try a plan. We got a plan, and we're going to try.
Well, Lisa, you just keep in touch. I'll keep in touch with you. And we'll get you back on again. I mean, every time you come on, you got something new to share with us. And we really, really appreciate you being a part of our family out there and sharing. Thank you for coming on tonight. It's at the top of the hour now. We've overrun our time again.
Okay.
But notice I'm not talking. You know, notice I didn't tell Alex 1 second or something like that, right? I didn't do that. No Blog Talk Radio, that's why. Thank you, Lisa, for coming on. And God bless, and I'll keep in touch with you, and we'll have you on again soon.
Okay. Thank you, Marco.
Thank you. Alex, it's time to close the show, my friend.
Excellent, Marco. It was a great show. It was a great show. I'm real honored to be here. Thank you. I might not be able to make it the next few weeks, so everybody keep bigfooting. Kudos and salutations. One closing thought, the arms of that Bigfoot in the Patterson film. They're not that long.
Good night, everybody.
I want all the viewers in the world today to know that this creature is out there. I have no doubt in my mind that there is a primate, a hominoid, a biped, something that walks on two all over this country. There's an unknown species out there. And we're going to find it. We've done vocalizations. Receive something in return, answering to it. We're going to be sharing our finds with the world, because what we've got now, no one else has. And the legend carries on by the work that we've done all these years. Say it's not you.
Bigfoot lives in the movie
right now
at www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Ivan was an old bear tracker. Tom was a man
dreams.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Marco Bill, and that's the Bigfoot Live radio show for this week. All of us on the Bigfoot Live Network would like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests for joining us tonight for an exciting evening of talk show entertainment, where you, the listeners, become a part of our on-the-air adventure. And we'd also like to thank you, our listeners, for sharing our adventure with us. Join us again next Wednesday evening for another exciting hour of Bigfoot Live radio show with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. Until then, this is Marco Bill saying good night, and be good, be safe, and be here next week. See you then.
Reason for